Well, we are going to start in Colossians 3:14, right exactly where Rachel left off. I just love it when great minds run in the same Christ in you direction. And the title of this teaching also is very interesting because she said the title of it, it is, Love is the Glue. No, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today, is everything we've been doing so far. So, and Colossians chapter 3, the last verse that she had ended with there is, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And I call this teaching that love is the glue. Okay, remember super glue? You know, when super glue first came out, I don't know about you, but did you play around with it and see how you could stick your finger together and how long it would stick? You know, like, okay, it really does work. Well, now they got Gorilla Glue, right? Which is even stickier. It's more, you know, it's gooier. And you can put it on big areas and, like, put two pieces of wood together, anything. But you use that stuff, you know, it's really impossible to get it apart without ripping one side or the other, right? Well, that's the kind of glue that the love of God is. It sticks us together, and after we get done with this teaching, hopefully you'll see even a little bit more how God designed the body of Christ to work and what his idea about how love is the glue is. So, in this verse here, we'll go to and look at just a couple things. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And you go, well, gee, I don't know about perfect. I don't think I'm going to ever get to perfect. But perfectness just means maturity. If we walk in the love of God, and we do, and we operate this in our lives, in our relationships with each other, then we will be start growing up into him, it talks about in Ephesians. And we will become mature Christians, not just baby Christians. You know, baby Christians are the ones who argue and fight and fuss and judge each other and all sorts of other things that we're not going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what we can do, and I want to give you some practical examples of how it works, too. I want to read a couple of translations of this verse that are really wonderful. The ESV is, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love, this is the NASB, which is the perfect bond of unity, or the uniting bond of maturity. The uniting bond of maturity is what love is. So, now, love, this bond, this word bond, you can translate it a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that it's translated is a ligament. A bond is anything that sticks together. It's like the super glue, all right? And, but, you know, there's different kinds of glue. Like, you ever tried to use Elmer's glue and sticking something together, and it doesn't work very well. If you want it to last a really long time, maybe paper it might work on. But, you see, if you want something like, you want two pieces of wood to stick together, or you want two pieces of some other kind of construction material to stick together, you got to use Gorilla Glue. See? Okay, well, if we want to have our body stick together, we got to use the love of God glue. You know, not what we think the love glue is, but what God says the love glue is. And he calls it a ligament. Okay, so this is very interesting. There are two things that make the body work together. Have I got your attention? Yeah, okay. The first one is, we have to have a common connecting point. This is how God set it up. And he gave each one of us the exact same measure of Holy Spirit. And so, because every single one of us in this room, I checked, you're all born again, we have the exact same measure of faith. And that makes a touch point. a point of connection. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show it to you. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's a unity of the Spirit. It's because there's the same Spirit in every person. That's what it says down in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone has the gift of Christ. And so automatically we have a point of connection. It's like where I put my super glue on each finger, right? It comes together. It's because we each have the same Spirit. Isn't that awesome how God did that? He didn't give me a bigger measure than he gave you. Nor anyone else of the millions of other people that are in the body of Christ. I'm not just this group here, but just think, just picture, just for one second, how we are part of this gigantic web of people that are all over the world. Every different color, every different race, every different kind of job, every different age, from the smallest child all the way up to the oldest, 100-year-old person. They all have this point of connection. You see, they all have the same measure of the Spirit. Okay, you see in verse 3 there, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The bond is the same word as the bond of perfectness. So we have the Spirit and we have love. And those are the two ways that the body is connected together. You could translate the end of that verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond that brings peace. Because when each one of us, not only do we have the Spirit, but when we start walking by the Spirit, it brings peace. It brings peace. It brings peace to me, but it also brings peace to everyone that we have that touching point with. See? So the entire body gets brought peace because of the Spirit. Now we'll get into the thing about the love. All right? Look at Colossians chapter 2. There's that old song, all we need is love. Love, 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 love. And you go, after a while you go, gosh, okay, if I hear one more sermon on love, I'm going to scream. But this is really exciting stuff. Okay, Colossians 2, verse 19. Not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and what? Knit together, increases with the increase of God. Okay, from the head, we know that. Jesus Christ is the head. From that down, the body has nourishment ministered, and it's knit together. Two things. How? By the joints and by the bands. And so the physical body here is used as an example of how God set up the body of believers to work. There's joints and there's bands. The joints are what I just talked about with the Spirit, where there's a touch point. You have a joint in your body where two bones come together. Okay? Now, in the physical body, where two bones come together, they are tied together by ligaments. The ligaments are sometimes over the top, sometimes in between the bones. Now, look at your finger. Okay, just look at it. If you feel the bone, there's one bone here, the first larger one, then there's a littler one, and then there's a really skinny one at the top. Some people's hands are a little fatter than mine, but that's okay. There's usually three bones, okay? Now, in between those bones, if you feel it, where we call it's a joint, right? That's the touch point, the joint. But right in between there are these little webs of elastic fibrous tissue that's called a ligament. And that's what holds this together. Otherwise, I just have three bones that would just go, and they'd fall down, and they would never be able to do anything. If they weren't tied together in any way, they would not be able to function and move or do anything. That's the exact same way in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if we all have Holy Spirit, and even if we're walking by Holy Spirit, but if we don't have that connection together that binds us together, that fits us together, see, that's the bond, it's the super glue, then the body can't do anything. Now, if you think about that in terms of the entire body of Christ, all right, you have all these different believers all over the world. It'd be like a big pile of bones that's just sitting there. The bones, you'd put them together and they'd just fall apart. Without the love of God, that's exactly what happens in the body of Christ. It's like a big pile of bones on the floor going, okay, isn't this great? But it doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. See, like in the example of with Carmen and Bob and Jeannie, they had to go do something to go minister to her. They had to be concerned about it. They had to be aware. They had to have some motivation that would join them with them and bound together, okay? And then with the prayer, the ministering, and all sorts of other cool things, which is walking by the Spirit, right? It tied it together, and there was nourishment ministered. There was a supply. That's what this verse means. Read it again. 2:19. Not holding the head from which or from whom all the body by joints, Holy Spirit, and by bands, the love of God, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Now the knit together is also a really wonderful word, and it's used in two other places. I'll show you. The next one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Knit together, you could translate to be molded together, locked together, compacted. Like, think about knitting. Remember Vicky made all these scarves for everyone for Christmas? She was crocheting, but it's like knitting. You know, where you weave the strands together. And that's actually how the ligaments work. They're woven. They're not just like lined up side by side, but they're actually woven together. And that's what gives it the flexibility. Do this. See how your finger can move? So it's amazing. God is so incredibly wonderful in how he designed our physical body. Don't you think he would be just as wonderful in designing the body of Christ? Okay, well, that's this knit together stuff is really wonderful. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. There's the touch point. The joined. We're joined. We have a joint. We have a joint. Okay? And compacted is knit together. We're compacted. So it's not just like brought near, kind of close, maybe a little bit close, but zap, right, close, like super glue, see? And we're compacted by that which every joint supplies. Well, that means that it's a responsibility of every single believer to walk by the Spirit. The joint supply. From the head down, right? God, Christ, you. And if I don't walk, I'm going to use me as an example, okay. If I don't walk by the Spirit, if I want to go hide in my little house and shut my door and say, I don't need to do anything, you know, then I'm withdrawing the supply that my part can contribute. So everybody supplies. At all the time, everyone supplies to the entire body of Christ by walking by the Spirit. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, see, it has to be God working in each one of us and thus makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in what? Oh, without the love, it doesn't matter. See? It doesn't matter at all. We could have power, we could have miracles, we could have all kinds of stuff, just like 1 Corinthians 13 says, But it would just be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, and it's nothing. It profits nothing without the love of God. Nothing. That's a zero. And you think about how great the power of the Spirit is, and, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the power of the Spirit and victory and all this great stuff, and it's true, but it never really goes anywhere unless we walk it out with the love of God. There's one more verse, Colossians 2:2, that's talking about the same knit together. That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. To the acknowledgement of the mystery is, if we walk in the love of God, we'll be living the mystery. This is the same mystery that God hid from ages and from generations and did not reveal to not even the angels. He did not reveal it because it was so fantastic that it would be Christ in each one of us, and that we really would be one body, one God, one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, and have this intrinsic unity built into our lives to take people from every different variety of every kind of nation, every kind of situation, and would bring them together, be knit together. And then how we walk that out is that we walk by the Spirit in weaving the bands. You know, we actually do the walking out of it, which is Ephesians, back to Ephesians. We're going to be flipping back from Ephesians to Colossians here. Ephesians 5. Now, we talk about the body of Christ and the body of Christ and the body of Christ and the body of Christ. And as I explained to you, the body is this fantastic illustration of the mystery. And you can learn so many things from studying the physical body. But that's not the only way that God described the mystery. He also described it that we are in a family. And instead of having joints and bands, we have brothers and sisters. The touch point is that we have the same Father. Okay? How we walk it out is still the same, though. Walk in the love of God. You see your brother or your sister, you have a need. It's like in a physical family. If my brother called me up from Seattle and said, I need you to pray for me, I'm really hurting, you know, I really need your prayers right now, man, I'd be right there, because he's my brother. And even though I don't get to see him all the time, he's my brother, and it never changes. He's my brother, he's my brother, he's always going to be my brother. It's the same thing with you. You guys are my brothers and sisters, but also think, you, meaning this group here, you're my brothers and sisters, and you're the ones that are close to me right now, but we are in a family with every other believer across the world. They are our brothers and sisters too. Sometime you're reading, especially the epistles, see how many times God says, and now brothers, and now brethren, do this, and now brethren, do that, and now brethren, you think about this. It's all the time. So when you talk about a family being the illustration of the mystery, you're talking about the relationships that we have and how we walk that out, just like a physical family where we care about the things that are going on in our brothers and sisters' life. Look at 1 John. Oh, did we read this? No. Ephesians 5. See, I get so excited. I'm starting to go, where am I? Ephesians 5, verse 2. Oh, we should read verse 1, too. Be ye therefore followers of God as what? Your children. We got the same Father. And walk in love. I love Rachel's song. As Christ also has loved us. So he's the example of how to do it. And this is what he did. He gave and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The bottom line of walking in love is giving. Giving of every kind. I'm not just talking about financial giving. You know, you could put your money in the abundant sharing horn every single week and not be giving. Because it's a heart thing that God is wanting here. What Christ did and how he gave himself. He gave himself. He gave his whole life. The only difference sometimes in between believers is how much are we willing to give of ourselves. Someone who has dedicated their life over many, many, many years, like Bob and Jeannie have, just faithfully, you know, year after year after year after year, to give themselves. That's what they're doing. They're giving themselves. they do it over and over and over and over again, and they never say, look at me, how wonderful I am. You know, they don't. But we all give, too. See, we all do. And what Bob was doing earlier, pointing out all of the people that contribute all the time. How many times have we gone up to someone and said, gee, I'm so thankful for what you do? Like, how many times has somebody gone up to Marilee and said, guys, I love your piano playing. Or anybody else. See, I'm not going to pick out anybody. He already did. But the things like with the children. Shelley is faithful week after week after week after week after week. The fellowship coordinators. I mean, I've done a fellowship in my home, too, most of the time for the last 30 years. Every week you do it. Every week, you know, and sometimes multiple times a week. It's the preparation. It's giving. See, there's just a lot of giving involved when it comes to walking in love. Now, we could go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we can read the whole thing. You know, we seek not our own, it forgives. There's all kinds of other qualities of the love of God. But you really come down to the bottom line of it. It's giving. It's getting out of ourselves and thinking, I'm so great, I've got the Spirit of God in me, and I can do whatever I want to do, and realizing that it's just about giving. And it's about appreciating and being thankful for every single thing that everybody contributes, no matter whether we think it's all that perfect or not. I mean, we have the way we do things, and we like it, okay? I mean, I like it. I like coming. I don't necessarily want to go down to the Presbyterian Church down here. But you know what? They're my brothers and sisters, too, and they are walking by the Spirit, and they are doing really wonderful things. So it's about appreciating it, see? And if I ever have an opportunity to go and to spend some time with another believer from another kind of group or whatever, that I'm not looking at them and going, well, you don't believe in this, and you don't believe in that. See? If the body of Christ did this, it really did this, where we appreciated each other, then there wouldn't be the divisions. Because you know what? God loves diversity. You look around and you look at the creation that he made. He designed it so that everything is different. I've been working in my garden, and you know, and I'm building a succulent garden. And so, even though I knew quite a lot about succulents, I have been astounded again at the variety of the types of that one kind of plant. That's only one plant. There's green ones, there's purple ones, there's things that make spiky flowers, there's things that make these little tiny ones. And they're all beautiful in their own way. And that's how God looks at us. If we could really grab onto this, it would just have so many things just go by the board. Now I want to tell you, this is a sticky verse. And I'm going to use it as an example here of just one little practical thing about how we can walk in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. And, you know, I was thinking when Rachel was up here, it's like, I always wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to be able to just, like, really let it rip and, you know, have everybody go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, dang, it's still, after a while, I know that it's coming off across like teaching. And I will listen to somebody else who's just, it's so effortless to speak and motivate and be exhorting and all this great stuff. And I think, I want to be like that. I really do want to be like that. So this is my attempt at doing some preaching, okay? But it's still coming across like teaching. You know why? Because that's how God works in me. And I can't help it. If I allow him to, he's still energizing it like that. But the whole purpose of it is to be a supply. See, if I do my little part, Jeannie does hers, Donnie does his, everybody, then it all meshes together. And we start weaving the knitting or the super glue. You know? This is a really sticky verse. 1 Thessalonians. I better get there. Chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Well, you do. There are many wonderful things that all of you do all the time. And like we've been talking about, we just need to be thankful for that and acknowledge it a little bit more. We do edify one another. In verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, brothers, you're my brothers, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Oh, over you. Wait a minute. Here we are talking about everybody has the same spirit. All we have to do is walk in the love of God and stick it together. What about this thing about over you? And you can put your finger here. And look at 1 Timothy. There's another one. These are two sticky verses. I call them sticky. Because it's hard to understand. Oh, this is the same one. But we are going to look at this one too. Okay. Who are over you? Romans 12 talks about how we are members one of another. The knitting, right? It means that we belong to each other. You can't get away from me. I'm going to be your sister. Whether you like me or not, you know, I'm your sister in Christ. And I'm always going to be your sister. Now, if we have, here's another one, okay? Another way to understand the mystery, as we've talked about before, is God's company. God's the boss, you know. We're all workers together with him, right? Well, in our culture, the idea of a company or a corporation sometimes gives us the wrong idea. So you got the CEO, and then you got the vice president, and you got all these levels, right? And truly, in our culture, there are many levels that we define. You know, I'm this much of a manager. You're not quite as much of a manager. And we put it all like in an order. The boss, dot, 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 down, 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 down. You know, and well, if I'm the worker bee on the bottom, and all I do is answer the phone. I'm a nobody. See? But in the body of Christ, that is not the case. And like Rachel said, we have to erase. And we have to get a different picture, because in God's company, there is only one level. And I don't care if you're a leader or you're not a leader, there is only one level. We are members one of each other. We belong to each other, and there is one level. I have the same right to go to God that you have to go to God. We're members one of each other. So when you see verses like this, which is to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, there's got to be something in the translation or in our understanding of what it means, because it's not over. If anything, leaders are under serving, right? If someone is a full-time minister or they've dedicated their life, they are under, from the underneath serving, you know? But it's still one level. It's one level, okay? This word over you, it's just a really simple answer to it. It means protect, guide, guard, care for, give aid. Well, that's what our leaders do, right? Any leader, anybody who has any service that they're doing, you know, if we're passing the abundant sharing, we're setting up the tables, we're doing the bookstore, that's over you because they are aiding, they're serving, they're doing something to contribute at that point. So it doesn't matter whether it's full-time, part-time, only time, half-time, however much time. It doesn't matter. Now, if you want to do more, then just get busy giving more. And it'll weave that thing tighter and tighter and tighter the more we give to each other. The more we see what needs there are, the more we want to rise up to contribute in whatever area we can. And again, see, God loves diversity. So he loves the fact that we have all different kinds of talents. We have all different kinds of abilities. But they're not in levels. It's not a level thing where one is more important than another one is more important. So even Barney and Bob, even though they stand up here week after week after week, they are not more important, but they deserve to be respected because of what they are doing. They are aiding, protecting, guarding, caring for, doing all kinds of things all the time. So it's more prominent. You can see them. But what about going around and thanking every person that you know who does anything? Anything. And showing them that we appreciate it. We appreciate it. I couldn't do what I do without everyone else doing what they do. And that's the bottom line. See? I told you, 1 Timothy, look there. Verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well, rule, there it is, rule well. Uh-oh, I thought there wasn't any levels. Again, you have to, you know, not just take the words at face value, but look at them. If it strikes a chord that isn't so harmonious with everything else you know about the word, then you have to look at it. And this word rule is exactly the same as the other one I told you about, over. Rule. Protect, guide, guard, care for, give aid. The elders that do that should be counted worthy of double honor. Oh, you mean that they're the only ones who ever get to do anything? They're the ones who everybody's always bowing down to. They're the only ones who ever would deserve a salary or any kind of gift, right? No. Double honor just means the highest amount of regard. And it's not regard because even for their work as much as it is for the fact that they are giving. They're giving. But anybody else in the whole body of Christ, I don't care if it's the Pope, or if it's the youngest child, they are worthy of honor and respect when they're contributing, when they're giving, when they're doing things, when they're helping out. You know, sometimes the youngest child can say the thing that touches your heart the most on a given time, just come up to you and just wrap their arms around you and go, I love you. You go, wow, I didn't get it before. Now I do. Oh, it's really exciting. Okay, one more section here, just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 12. Love is the glue. And without the glue, the whole body just goes in a big pile of bones on the floor and doesn't ever get to accomplish anything. 1 Corinthians 12, you can read the whole section because we don't have time to do it, but it's talking about you know, the body's one and has many members, and we each belong to each other. But look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. It pleased him. It pleased him. It pleased him. It pleased him. Not us. It pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. There's one body. One body. One family. One temple. One company. Not a whole bunch of little subsidiary ones that are subject to the other ones. See? And, you know, if the eye says to the hand, I have no need of you. Is it true? No. All right, jump down to verse 25. I need to tell you one other thing here in verse 22. If you say, I have no need of you, right? Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And the word feeble there is weak, or without power, or without strength. Like again, we would, in the testimony of Carmen, you know, at that point she was weak, okay? Or even when Glenn hurt his arm, he was weaker than Barney, all right? Doesn't mean he's always weaker than Barney, but at that particular point, he didn't have as much strength as he needed. And as whoever else was right next to him. So it's not about like somebody always being feeble. You know, you're the weaker part and I have to take care of you. No, it's that every one of us at some time or another is going to be weaker than the person next to us. And we need each other. When I'm without strength, I need to draw from your strength. I need to have you walk by the Spirit so that you can help me. And when you're weak or you have a need, then I can do that for you, or any one of us, to each other, members of each other. Okay, now go down to 25. That there be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care for one another. They promote each other's interests. Okay, if I'm in a family and my brother is getting to do something awesome, you know, I'd be going around talking all the time about how great my brother is. He's doing this and he's doing that. And isn't that awesome what he gets to do? And talking about my brother. I'm promoting his interests, see? And that's what we can do with each other all the time. Not talking about ourselves, see? Look how great I am. I healed this person today. It's not that. It's like, wow, they got healed. And look at Barney healed somebody. I get to go around saying, Barney healed my husband. Isn't that awesome? And somebody else can say, okay, Jan, you did this or that. But if we promote each other's interests, then it's like family. And again, it gets knit more and more and more together. Isn't that cool? Verse 27. Now are you the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now back to Colossians chapter 3, where we started. Love is the glue. Another example of glue, or type of glue, is asphalt. Have you ever seen them laying asphalt? It comes out of the truck with this, you know, little grainy stuff. And they lay it down, and then they smash it down. And what makes it stick together? Heat. The word for love in Aramaic, the root meaning of it is to kindle like a fire. And, you know, super glue and Gorilla Glue, I don't know what they have in them, but they have some kind of element that when they touch, it's like heat, it gets heated up. And that's what makes it stick together. So just think about asphalt then. All right? When we walk in the love of God, we're taking all these little grains of stuff and smashing it together and heating it up, and that's what makes it melt together so it sticks. And then cars can go over it. All right? So let's be like the asphalt. We could say love is the asphalt. Love is a glue. Love is how God designed the body to be. Colossians 3:14. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond or the sticky stuff of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's the thing that brings peace? Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one, what? Body. And be ye thankful. See? Let's be thankful for each other. Let's tell each other how much we need each other. Go up to someone, you know, right after and say, you know, look at my finger. See, if I didn't have this little thing in here called ligament, I would not be able to move my finger. And I need you, you need me, and we need each other. But we're all part of this larger, whole big, larger thing. And this is the way that God designed it. So don't you think that we should get our minds so we line it up with that and get rid of all of the divisions and levels and way we look at it, and rejoice in our diversity. Rejoice in the things that each one has to contribute. So God bless you.